Clog and Step Dance Festival. I bet you can't wait. Well, to tell us about it, Marion Target, one of the festival's organisers, is here with Chris Brady, Irish step dancer, Ben Thackeray, musician, and Frances Allison, clog dancer. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Now, you've come in. Marion, do you normally dress like that?
Not if I can help it, because the costume puts about 2 stone on you. But
well, I wasn't going to say anything. If I can just describe what Marion is wearing. In fact, you describe what you're wearing.
Well,
it defies description, really.
It is a mid-length flared skirt with a frill on the bottom, just short enough just so you can actually see what my feet are doing, mm-hmm. which is not always a good thing, I will say. A blouse, a pin-tucked blouse for the ladies who are interested in dressmaking, uh-huh. followed by an apron, and what I'm wearing on my head is a sunbonnet, which would have been worn by the working women about a century ago in the fields. Some people wear mob caps, which look even cuter, but the sunbonnet is probably more authentic. And underneath all, I have ye Victorian bloomers.
Authentic bloomers?
Authentic. These are authentic
I
bloomers.
I don't think anybody's ever shown me their neck, is it? Before,
well, I always like to get a quick flash in, everything I do.
Well, thanks for that. I'm out in the morning, I'm having a good time, what with wine tasting and other.
And of course, on my feet are a pair of wooden soled shoes, otherwise known as clogs.
Right, well, you actually look, the costume reminds me of something out of, you look like Goody Proctor I'm trying to think of the name of the play now, I wish I'd never started this, but anyway, all right, so this is the traditional costume that you dance in.
Yes.
How did clog dancing come to Britain? I mean, it's not Dutch, is it?
This is the greatest mistake of all time, to think that clog dancing is necessarily Dutch, mm-hmm. or the two are connected. They're a different type of clog to start with. The Dutch clog is almost always made of wood. Well, these are just leather shoes with wooden soles.
And clogs in this country, I think of places like Yorkshire and the industrial centres of the Industrial Revolution. Would I be right?
Yes, mainly. I'm sure there are clogs all over England, but they mainly come from that area. And I think there are still clog makers there today, industrial clog makers. There's one at least, isn't there, at Hebden Bridge. They are the shoes which would have been worn by the working man. And as you know, years and years ago, the working man and woman would have danced as a hobby, as well as sung. And those people that would have normally worn wooden soled shoes to work would then use them to dance in. And in fact, tap dancing came from clog dancing.
Is that a fact? No, I didn't know.
Yes,
that. That's
yes.
Very interesting. So to summarise then, clog dancing grew out of a sort of working man's pastime, really.
Yes, mm-hmm. Or everybody danced much more than today, mm-hmm. but particularly the working man and woman would have danced in the pubs, in the dance halls, and dancing wasn't polarised like it is now. They would have done a mixture of what we'd call ballroom dancing and step dancing and folk dancing, not all mixed together, but
no.
They'd have done bits of it in an evening, and in fact dancing is now more polarised,
yes.
than it was then. Yeah. And some dances would be done best in shoes and some in clogs, and some dances would have been done in both.
And the steps that you dance today, are they traditional steps or are they steps you make
up
yourself?
Oh yes, we are the Reading traditional step dance group, after all, and the idea is to preserve what was done then in our culture. And hang on to it. I mean, people do innovate and change, but the idea is to keep a tradition going, very much so, and preserve the different styles of dance from different regions as well, as well as the actual clog dancing itself. Different regions of the North, they would have slightly different styles, and that's something else we try and preserve.
Fine, well, that's the theory. Why don't we put it into practice and give us a sample of some clog dancing. We've got Ben, ready to do his stuff on the accordion. I'll talk to you about that accordion in a few minutes, as I'm quite interested in that. And I think, Alison, you're going to join in. Oh, I'm sorry. You're Frances.
Yeah.
I will sort this out in a minute. You're Frances Allison. That's
yeah.
why.
Well, you see,
if you have two Christian names, what do you expect? And are you going to join in this one as well?
No, that's this is Frances.
This is Frances'
speciality.
Speciality act. Right, here we go then. Yeah. Thank you. As you say. Ben, tell us about your accordion. That's a it's quite a small one, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's not an accordion, it's a melodeon.
Well, there you are then, you see, that just shows you how much I know about it.
Now, the difference between accordions and melodeons is this is it's got buttons on the right end rather than a piano keyboard, and each of the buttons gives you two notes rather than one. Each button is got a different note on the the suck and the blow.
A bit like a
harmonica. It's a bit like a large mouth organ, basically.
Or a concertina. It works on the same principle, doesn't it?
Some of them do, yes.
Yeah. How long have you been playing that?
Oh, about 20 years.
I've never worked out the button sequence. I play the piano accordion myself, but I imagine that must be totally different.
Yeah, it's just like each of the... There's three rows of buttons on the right-hand end, and each of the rows is equivalent to playing a separate mouth organ in a different key. And say, and each of the buttons plays one note, so you go up the scale by playing blow, suck, blow, suck, blow, suck.
That presumably isn't always convenient, though, in the course of a tune, is it?
Well, the reason it's used for folk music is because it generally is convenient. It fits quite nicely for folk-type tunes.
I see.
It's an absolute pig to play different types of tunes, but a lot of the folk music fits very nicely on it.
Yes, I can imagine trying to operate the bellows. When you play piano accordion, of course, you just go with it, don't you? The bellows open, and when you've finished opening, you close again. But if you've got to control the notes by the bellows...
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, the natural jerkiness that produces is one of the sort of characteristics of this sort of music.
Yeah. So. Right. Okay. And Francis danced very nicely there. This is not your only gig today, though, is it?
No.
Go on.
I'm straight off to our Guide Bazaar at Bethel Village Hall. It starts at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Raising money for our district's guides funds.
Will you be dancing there?
No.
Well, that's answered that question. Then you've got your plug in for the Guide Bazaar.
Thank
let's
you.
Turn to I've got to look his name up. I can't remember all these names. Chris Brady.
Yeah.
Who is an Irish step dancer. Morning, Chris. You're a bit of a champ, aren't you?
Well, I wish I was. probably about 10 years dancing experience. But if you really want to be a champion, especially Irish dancing, you've got to start at a very, very young age, 3 or 4 years old, and grow up into it. I started too late in life to be a champion.
Is Irish dancing any different to clog dancing? Where do the two meet?
I think that Irish step dancing was the original step dancing, many, many hundreds of years old. And when the Irish immigrants came across to Liverpool to work in the cotton mills during the Industrial Revolution, they brought their step dancing with them. The clogs were worn to keep the feet dry in wet conditions because you have to keep the cotton damp, otherwise it breaks on the looms. I think the Irish merged their step dancing with the indigenous clog dancing. And you've now got hybrid styles, you've got Irish ordinary hard shoe step dance styles, and you've got English clog dance styles, and you've got a whole mixture there. But I think the original clog dancing, the idea of making taps with your feet in time to music, is basically Irish.
Very interesting how all these things have their roots in a practical purpose.
In fact, we have a reference to clog dancing being taught by a John Weaver around about the year 1500 in Shrewsbury. Apparently he was a dancing master to the royal court at that time and used to choreograph wooden-soled shoe dances, which we assume were clog dances.
Isn't that fascinating?
We don't know.
I mean, one can accept with the costume that Marion's wearing, for example, that it's very much a working man's thing, but the idea of people clog dancing in the palace conjures all sorts of... thoughts, doesn't it? That surprises me, really.
Yeah, and the other area of clog dancing, which is fascinating, is that it was a very predominant musical act up until the turn of the century. Not only in this country, but also around the world, because the musical stars used to follow the sun and do a season in this country during the summer and then go down to Australia, do a season down there. And we've got references to clog dancing being done from 1864 on the music hall stage, almost anywhere in the world.
Music hall, of course, had its roots in the East End of London, so would the halls there have had clog dancers on the bill?
Absolutely, and Charlie Chaplin was a clog dancer at the turn of the century. He was part of the Seven Lancashire Lads that started his stage career, and he was born and brought up in the East End of London, and that's where he got his clog dance steps from.
Well, you know, they never featured that in the movie, did they?
No.
You're going to dance for us, I think, are you, this morning, Chris?
Yes, I'm going to do a little bit of a clog waltz, which comes from Sammy Bell. And Sammy Bell was a boy champion clog dancer in the 1930s. He was an ex-coal miner, and he used to live up in Ashington, up in Newcastle. And in about 1940s, he moved down to Slough, and he must have been Slough's only professional clog dancer. Sadly, he passed away last year, but he has left us a wonderful legacy of clog dance steps.
And legacy,
he was a very valued member of our group.
Sorry.
So I'm going to do a couple of his waltz steps, and if Ben can play the music. Thank you.
Good. What I've just seen there, Chris has been, unlike tap dancing, which is fairly, it's fairly formal in its performance with lots of arm expression and stuff like that. All the emphasis is on the legs on what Chris is doing, but that dance he's just done involved leaps in the air and clicking the heels together as he was jumping and scrapes along the floor, and he's completely worn out.
Completely worn out. Perhaps I should describe what I was dancing on there is a roll-up mat made out of laths of wood. In fact, they're Canadian maple, about 1 inch wide, and they're glued to the back of a Hessian sheet. And because they're strips, you can roll them up quite easily. And they're based on a professional clog dance mat, wooden sole shoe dancing, actually from America, from Boston, where clog dancing used to be in the musical stage a long while ago. Sammy Bell had one of his waltz steps involved sliding the feet across the strips to make a sort of a zipping sound, and that is quite a unique step. There's no other clog dancer actually used the mat in that fashion. And so that's something that we got from Sammy, is actually to use the construct of the mat to emphasise the type of step that you're doing.
Very interesting.
Works very well.
Well, this is live clog dancing on BBC Radio Berkshire. This has to be a first. I'll put this on my CV, I think. Now, just talk about this footwear for a moment. Take your foot off. Take your shoe off. and let's have a look at the clog. Well, that's not nearly as heavy as I expected it would be. It's fairly light. In fact, it's no heavier than an ordinary shoe, is it? And yet it's got a wooden sole and leather uppers, and yeah, that's about all you can say about that, really, isn't it? Where are they made?
Trevor Owen made these up in Rotherham. He's a clog dancer. He supplies most of the dancing teams in this country now, and also overseas. The Clog sole itself, they used to be handmade, but nowadays they're made by machine, unfortunately. The handmade clogs used to be made in ash, which was very, very light wood, very closely grained, and didn't wear down. The clogs that we have nowadays, the soles are made of beech, very soft wood, and does tend to split easily, and they're not so good for dancing. If ever you see a pair of ash-soled clogs in an antique shop or something, they're really worth buying as an investment, especially if you're into clog dancing.
Yes, thanks for the tip. do you tap dance as well? I mean, is that how... Does one go into clog dancing via tap dancing, or are the two not really associated?
Well, they're not really... Well, some people will come from tap because they like to dance, but other people will come in completely cold. You don't have to do both, you can do either.
Yeah.
At the group, we don't just do clog dancing, we do step dancing from all over the country too. So people concentrate on what they're happy with and what they're good at. I mean, our official title is Reading Traditional Step Dance Group. We're known as the Reading Cloggies.
Yeah.
Obviously, we do a lot of clog work.
Yeah.
But a lot of what we do is the social dances, not the solo stuff, that we dance in clogs in the social dances. And sometimes we dance... just do the stepping in the ordinary character shoes. But some, for instance, coming to our festival to teach is an Appalachian group.
Uh-huh.
And normally the Appalachian, which is the hillbilly dancing from America, and that is a clog dancing done in tap shoes.
Yeah. I'm going to drive my producer mad now. She's going to have a blue fit. I used to do some tap dancing. Well, in fact, I still do. Yeah,
join us.
And I have been a Morris man.
Ah.
But you're not to tell anybody that, you know, because with the bells and the... Yeah. Now, I want you to teach me a step. So I'm going to walk all the way over there, right across the studio. Can you still hear me? There we are. Right, now, is this mic open? They're nodding. Producer's laughing. It's first time, live on radio. You're going to teach me to clog dance.
Can you shuffle, sir? Yes. You can shuffle, that's half of it.
That's right, I'm doing the shuffle now. Can you hear that?
You're clog dancing. That is a clog dance.
Oh, I'm clog. Hey, look at me, I'm dancing. I'm clog dancing. Are you impressed?
Yeah.
Victoria's impressed. They've all come in to watch. Right, what happens next?
Step shuffle.
This is just like tap, isn't it? Yeah.
Now you need to... Most of the clog dance steps have a finish or a break.
Uh-huh.
And the break is step, shuffle, step, shuffle, step, step, and across.
Right. Step, shuffle, step, shuffle, step,
step, and across.
Oh, wait a minute. It's that end bit, you see. Step, shuffle, step, shuffle, step.
Left foot out in front.
Step back.
Step across.
And across. Ah, you see, I'm going to do transfer my weight. Right, all right.
You're finished.
Shall we have a go at this?
You seem to be a natural.
Oh, is that
right? We're always looking for good men in clubs.
I'll follow you.
That's what we were doing. Yeah.
You should come to the festival.
Yes.
So
yes,
tell me about the festival. When is it? What is it?
When is it? It's on Saturday, the 22nd of October at Altwood School, Maidenhead. It's the 16th International Clog and Step Dance Festival.
Yeah.
Dare I say it, next year the group is 30 years old. It's the oldest clog dance group in the country. I think this is the oldest step dance festival in the country, if not the world. We regularly get 350 people there. We have 12 parallel workshops on all the different styles of clog dancing and step dancing that you could ever imagine, from all over the country. Including we've got Pat and Selena Tubridy coming over from Dublin to teach the old Irish hornpipe steps. We've got a gentleman called Tony Barron flying over from Boston at his own expense to teach us some American clog dancing, wooden soled shoe type clog dancing. And we've got some Appalachian dancers coming down from Nottingham for some funny reason. They do Appalachian clog dancing up in Nottingham.
Why not?
As I say, we get 350 people there. We do sell spectator tickets if anybody is interested in coming along in the afternoon to watch the shows. We have two shows, a performer show and a sort of a show and tell workshop showcase. The tickets, I mentioned the price.
Yes,
tickets are £4 for spectators, and there should be a few tickets at the door if people are interested.
Jolly good.
In the evening, we've got a grand barn dance with the band Pitchfork and Caller Brian Jones. Tickets are £4. Again, that's at Altwood School, Maidenhead, from 8 o'clock till late. That will include displays from the Reading Cloggies and other invited guests. So that will be a very good evening. The barn dance is always one of the best parts of the day. It allows us to relax after the day's teaching.
Give me the address again.
Right, so yes, anybody can join the Reading Cloggies. We'd be very, and you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have danced before. The person to contact is Marion Target, who's with us this morning.
Yes, you can spot her in the high street.
You can spot her in the high street.
Yes. Come clogging with me. You know.
Created a sensation at Reading Station this morning.
I should go look for him
in full costume. Your phone number.
Reading 862393.
Reading 862393.
We're particularly keen to get local people into our festival because it's famous all over England. People come all the way up from Cornwall, down from Scotland, over from Ireland, and yet it's what we do seems to be quite unknown in the Reading and Maidenhead areas, which is a great shame. There's a great wealth of dancing out there. We have a great wealth of knowledge to pass on, and we'd just like to bring it to the attention of the local people.
Yes. Is there an age limit at all?
No, not really.
105.
105. Some of the better dancers, in fact, are our older members. Well, clog dancing is difficult, and is something that takes years to arrange. The range is from the early 20s, I think, at the moment in our group, isn't that? Oh, we've got a student. A student came the other day, so it's 18.
And Alison, Francis, of course, is at the younger end of your age range. Yes.
I'm at the old granny end, actually, I am.
Nonsense. Anybody goes around very flashing their knickers in radio stations. Anyway, so you're open to all comers, and the festival itself is being held at?
Altwood School in Maidenhead. That's in Altwood Road, Altwood School. It starts. When does it start? Well, the festival itself starts around about 9:30. For spectators, if they want to come and see the shows, then if they turn up round about 12:30, then we can sort them out with tickets and find them a place to see everybody.
Right. Marion Target, Chris Brady, Ben Thackeray and Francis Allison, thank you for joining us in the studio. Give us one last clog dance to finish off.
Thank you.
This is the Masked Cloggies of the Reading Cloggies on BBC Radio Berkshire. I can see now why you wear those knickers. Yeah. you keep showing them to me. You can go along and see Marion Target's knickers next weekend at the Altwood School in Maidenhead, and you may even stay on to attend the barn dance in the evening. That's at 8 o'clock. The festival itself is in the afternoon, and all comers welcome. You can get tickets on the door, and if you do want to become a cloggy yourself, then call Marion on Reading 862 393 sometime next week, and she'll fix you up with some wooden boots.